Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful Monday. It's going to be a great week. I keep telling myself that, and I'm sure it will be. Thank you for listening, and thanks to our sponsors, Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. We're very pleased to have in studio Bruce Tideback, Director of Transportation for Carroll County Schools. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. You got a good radio voice.
Well, so, I appreciate that.
So you're making me look bad already. we want to come in. We want to talk now schools back in session. And the Georgia legislature, in its wisdom, had a little up and down regarding it. And so we want to address that. Before we jump deep into that, you've got a pretty distinguished career going on. Tell us a little something about yourself and a little bit about your background.
Sure. I've been the Director of Transportation for Carroll County Schools for the last 4.5 years. Prior to that, I was a middle school principal at Bay Springs Middle School in the Villa Rica area for 12 years.
I'm sure that was easy.
It was a lot of fun. when I was first there, I had a whole bunch of hair.
Yeah,
but I do miss the kids on that day-to-day basis. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. And then prior to that, an assistant principal at Temple Middle.
Wow.
I also taught at Bay Springs, and then I was a teacher in Rockdale County, DeKalb County. So I've been in this business about 27 years.
What'd you teach?
Math.
Really?
Yeah. So not many people grow up and be a math teacher.
Yeah.
You want to be a math teacher.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I taught at Rockdale County High School, taught math there. I also, prior to that, worked for the Federal Reserve Bank Atlanta off Marietta Street.
Really?
In savings bonds.
No kidding.
Again, that's just a bowl full of jelly fun.
And okay. Then, well, next week you can come back. We'll talk about the Fed.
There you go. We can talk about the Fed. And then prior to that, I did 3 years in the military. So I had an opportunity to be in the Navy and just as proud as can be about that.
What'd you do in the Navy?
I was in administration. I was on two ships. I was on a cruiser named USS Mobile Bay out of Yokosuka, Japan for over 2 years. And then I transferred to USS Ranger, an aircraft carrier out of San Diego, which my uncle commissioned and I decommissioned. So that was really a cool...
Tell us about your uncle then.
He was on a flight crew. He was a jet mechanic, what they call a plane captain. So growing up, I got to hear all his stories about the Navy. And it was just kind of ironic that I ended up being on the same ship as him. And now we just sit around and share all those stories that neither my kids nor his grandkids want to hear as we discuss the good old days of the Navy.
Well, what a fascinating, wonderful career you've had so far.
It has been a lot of fun.
I bet it really has. All right. I got so confused, more so than normal. And
sure.
I stay in a perpetual case of confusion generally. But state legislator changed the laws regarding how to approach a school bus, and then Bill Heath and the governor changed them right back at the beginning of this session, I guess, because in fact they were so confusing. Tell us what happened, your understanding of what happened.
In 2018, they House Bill 978 came into effect, and that basically allowed school systems to put the stop arm cameras on buses.
Okay.
And in there, which probably happens more than we realize, there was some flawed language that ended up being interpreted that if you had a road that had that turn lane in the middle of it, there's some of that on 27 here in the local area, the painted median, that cars coming in the opposite direction did not have to stop when the bus put out its stop arm. That caused a lot of concern amongst educators, especially those in transportation. The law was generated by and I can't remember the gentleman's name, by a South Georgia politician. And again, I don't think it was intended to be this way. I just think with the difference with some of the South Georgia areas where they may not have multiple lanes near as much as we do in Metro Atlanta, I don't think they realized the impact it may have.
But I was thinking during that time that, you know, like in Cobb or in Metro, you can have multiple lanes like 8 across or 10 mm-hmm. across or, you know, infinity across almost. Was that part of the motivation that if you're 8 lanes wide that...
I'm sure that may have come across as far as that goes. The concern, again, people have is there is not, that they had, was there is not a physical barrier between that far and the other side. You know, drivers often take advantage of when buses stop because we stop the traffic for them. So now those that were in that turn lane wanted to take lefts into shopping centers and things of this nature when our kids were getting off, and children as they are, have a tendency not to pay attention as much as we want to, and they would be walking into areas where cars were taking a left into, or cars that were on our right were pulling out in front of us because we gave them the opportunity by stopping traffic.
I never thought of that. A little bit creative on part of the driver there.
Absolutely. They see us as, you think about these multi-lane roads in Cobb and things like that, that people are waiting in that turn lane for 5 minutes to cross traffic. Mm-hmm. Well, they see a bus coming and they're going, please have a stop here so that I can cross over.
Our guest this morning is Bruce Tidebag, Director of Transportation, Carroll County Schools. You can give us a call, 678-601-TALK, 678-601-8255, or your questions or comments on Facebook Live with the News Talk 1330 Facebook app. Okay, so little by little, the state legislature wised up, and the beginning of this year, Senator Bill Heath and Brian Kemp reversed that legislation.
Right.
So now we can put the confusion behind us. What do we need to know?
Okay, again, thank you to, you know, Senator Heath. We really appreciate him recognizing our concerns. The law goes back to what we knew it as. If you're on a two-lane road where it's just you and opposing traffic, if a bus puts out its stop arm, it's very simple. Oncoming traffic must stop, and I repeat, must stop. They can't slow down and crawl. They must stop, and the traffic behind the bus must stop. If you're on a road that is multi-lane, that has a turn lane in the middle of it, again, not a physical barrier. A physical barrier could be a curb, it could be rock, it could be grass, it could be a wall. Again, all traffic, regardless of the number of lanes, must stop that's coming to the bus and behind the bus. And then thirdly, if you do have a barrier between you and the opposite side where the bus is, you may continue to proceed traffic-wise because there is a physical barrier there. Again, grass, rock, wall, curbing of some type. That's when oncoming traffic, traffic that is going toward the front of the bus, may continue going even though the bus has stopped, dismissing children.
Okay, so just to be clear, the median or barrier is defined, so I'll know exactly as what?
They define it as dirt, grass, barrier median, anything that is physical that would prevent a car from turning in front of the bus.
Okay.
So a lot of these places now have these curbing in the middle. It may only be the height of the curb, but that allows a car on the other side to continue driving down the road. They cannot take a left in front of the bus because there is a barrier of some type.
Okay. That sounds understandable. Tell us about distances. Mm-hmm. How much in front of and behind of a bus do we need to stay?
There is no set law on that, but what we do ask is if you're coming from behind a bus and you're directly in the lane behind a bus, that on any school bus, do not get up on its bumper. I know a lot of people do that because the back of the bus is an emergency exit, and that door is about 4 feet wide when it opens, and we need that room. Gosh, you know, that something happens that the children can use that as an exit. On a school bus, there are 9 emergency exits, and that is probably the second most one uses, that back door. So we don't need trucks or cars just slammed up against our bumper when they're stopped.
But and I have problems with this. You know, then all of a sudden the caution lights come on.
Yes.
On the bus. They
Yes.
start blinking, and I go, oh, my God. And what do we need to do when the caution lights come on? Do we need to, how long are they on? How much time before the
state recommends that we put them up, the yellow flashing lights, 200 feet prior to our stop.
Okay.
Is what the state recommends.
Well, that's helpful.
It is. Now, you know, in some cases, stops are closer than 200 feet from each other. So, it's, you know, that's where the state actually doesn't want you to put stops any closer than a tenth of a mile, 0.2 miles, because they understand that if I am stopped and cars are behind me and cars are in front of me, and as soon as I shut that door and I have to put my flashers on for the next one, the traffic doesn't have a chance to breathe and get moving. So we try to spread out the stop so that allows that to happen. But 200 feet, we want you to start slowing down because that bus is about to make a stop. And those lights give you indication that it's going to happen. Please just slow down behind the bus. Don't try to speed by it at the last second because you don't know exactly where the stop arm is going
to
come out.
I've got so many questions. We're never going to get to all of them. But one phenomenon you see sometimes is in the early morning hours, everybody's going to work.
Right.
And then you got the school bus, and it's going to, you know, picking up one, going down the road, picking up another. And you got this enormous caravan, a convoy of cars and commuters behind you. What, do y'all try to address that in any way?
We do. But our number one priority, again, is, and we try to stay on schedule as much as possible. That way the children know when to be out there. We don't want to be off. But that also allows the commuter who does have a bus route on their travels to work that they may be able to adjust their travel time by 5 minutes either way, because they know at 6:45 this bus is going to be on my road. So that does help us out. Listen, people, including myself, can get frustrated riding behind a school bus because we are making a lot of stops to pick up kids. But our job, the safest place for students, children, is either in their house, on the bus, or at school. At the bus stop, that's when they're most exposed because there is no barrier protecting them. Mm-hmm. So we want to get them on the bus safely and quickly.
All right. Our guest this morning is Bruce Teitelbach, Director of Transportation, Carroll County Schools. You can call us 678-601-TALK or find us on Newstalk 1330 Facebook. State Representative Jay Collins says, Teitelbach is the man.
I appreciate that, Jay.
Exclamation point. He gets things done. Another exclamation point. We'll be back with more after this word from Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Oak Mountain Academy has offered a challenging college preparatory education for over 50 years. With over 500 graduates, we have maintained a 100% college acceptance rate. Over 90% of our students earn acceptance to their first choice of college or university, and over the past 5 years, our students have earned over $10 million in scholarship offers. Our students are creating a legacy. Come, be a part of our family and create your own legacy today. To learn more, visit us at oakmountain.us.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. We're honored to have in studio Bruce Teitelbach, Director of Transportation, Carroll County Schools. Call us 678-601-TALK or Facebook Live. Cynthia Daly just posted, great info, Bruce, exclamation point. Thank you,
Cynthia.
This next segment, I want to run through a whole bunch of questions I have regarding school buses, and then we'll come back and we'll go back to the law as far as motorists and safety, et cetera. Is there air conditioning on these buses?
All of our special needs buses have air conditioning, and currently, 14 months ago, we had zero full-size buses that have air conditioning, but through the good graces of our school board, we now have 35, and every bus purchase moving forward will have air conditioning on them.
I'm old enough that I remember when school didn't start until after Labor Day, et cetera,
sure.
And heat wasn't such an issue. But I guess it really is a concern on school buses.
It certainly can be. Just like probably you, my first car didn't have air conditioning, so you want to keep it moving. We ask kids, again, when they're on the bus, they are welcome to bring any kind of liquid that may help them as far as keeping cool. But that's why, again, we want to do things expeditiously, but at the same time, safety comes before being cool.
What's the current status in this new century year, 2019, as far as discipline on school buses?
You know, I don't think it's any worse. Kids are kids. They've always been kids. My thing with new bus drivers, I tell them, when the wagons were coming across, you know, back in the 1800s, 1600s, mom and dad were up front. Son and daughter, I guarantee you, were as far in the back of that wagon as they were, and I'm sure they were looking out the back of the wagon, having fun with other kids, okay?
But that's the point. Mommy and daddy are not there.
So that's correct.
How do you drive a bus when you got, you know, the unruly kids in the far back?
Well, again, that is true. Every kid wants to sit in the back. One of the tools we have is, just like any good teacher, is you're going to come sit up by me. Okay. And there's no child that likes to have to sit up there. But our drivers do a great job of establishing procedures and protocol as to what our expectations are on the bus. And with the support of our parents, we generally don't have too many issues with that. And if we do, you know, we sit down, talk with a child, or get an administrator involved.
And I want to delve a little bit deeper into drivers and drivers training. But before I do that, let me ask you about cameras. Do all the buses now have cameras?
There is no state law that requires cameras. I would say 95% of our buses do have cameras. Back in the day, there were VHS tapes. Now, of course, everything's digital. They're color. They're usually on each bus. We have about 4 cameras, so we can actually see down into the seats, where in the past there was a camera just shooting from the front of the bus to the back.
So if there's an incident, are you the one that begins the investigatory process on that?
Generally speaking, no. What we do is we get the information and provide it to the school.
Okay.
The school administration handles discipline with students.
Okay.
We stay out of that. Again, our focus is safety of transporting kids.
Okay, well, let's talk about drivers a moment. But before, again, I said we'll get to that. Before I do, you mentioned earlier that there's currently a state inspection going on.
Yeah, the law says that the state, the gentlemen and ladies who do the weigh stations and things of this nature, they come once a year. And from bumper to bumper, from bottom of the tire to the top of the roof, they go through our buses. For us, it takes about a week and a half to get all the buses done. In addition to that, we are required with a sheet to inspect the buses every month. It doesn't matter if that bus hasn't been driven for a month or not been driven for a month. Every bus must come in to be inspected.
So that's a mechanical top to bottom inspection.
Absolutely. It's all the safety features, the emergency exits, braking, horn, blinkers, all those things all get inspected.
Well, obviously the most important component of the bus is the driver. How do you select drivers and how do you train them?
When people put in applications, we do what they call an MVR, motor vehicle report, just like a credit check, but it's for their driving to see their history. We then interview them and see if this may be something that they're compatible with. The training goes, state law is 12 hours of classroom training, 6 hours of driving without students. That's just you and a trainer. And you work on all sorts of things, parallel parking, backing, reversing. And then you do 6 hours with students with a bus driver. However, we go a little extra. We go about 16 hours of classroom, 8 hours without students, 8 hours with students. We have a course set up where they can do backing, parallel parking, which is always an adventure in Atlanta with a school bus. We then take them out, like I said, without kids, and we do all sorts of practice scenarios, emergency evacuation scenarios, and then we get them with a driver and get them on a route so that the driver can watch them drive before we have them go out on their own.
Do we have enough drivers? We have a viewer on Facebook Live, Lynn, would like to know, do we have enough drivers?
All of our routes are covered, but again, to anyone out there who's interested in being a school bus driver, we'd love to have you. The hours are wonderful. It's on your child's schedule. You have those summers off, you know, your 2 weeks at Christmas, so that works. Where sometimes it can get a little tight is when we have, because we have so many children in Carroll County Schools, which is great, that are involved in extracurricular, the football games, the band trips, things like that, trying to get those covered. We got a good group of folks that make it work.
Carroll County, obviously, as we all know, has a very large landmass.
500 square miles.
So we go
from the Alabama border to Fulton County.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
It is a massive land.
It's a big challenge. What's the average route distance?
I would say, again, really there's two. There's kind of two Carroll counties as far as we're concerned. There's a north end that's more Temple and Billerica. Those drivers may have a full bus, but they're done in 45 minutes. Because larger neighborhoods, they can drop off kids rather quickly. Whereas you get out into the western part of the county or the southern part, you may only have 20 kids on the bus, but your route could be an hour and 20 minutes simply because of sheer distance. So that comes into play. Plus, we have the McKinney-Vento Act, where kids who are by law defined as homeless, they're allowed to go to their school of origination, even though they may be doubled up across the county. We have students who actually now are living in the Mount Zion, in the Whitesburg area, but we transform to Mount Zion for to go to school. Mm-hmm. So that can be logistically a very interesting thing to tackle.
So what's the average ride that a kid's going to have to make on a school bus?
About 45 minutes. Again, average.
Average.
For county.
Okay. So basically, the driver job is a part-time job.
Yes.
But you do get benefits.
Full-time benefits for a part-time job.
And that's very attractive.
It's very attractive, again, because, you know, dental, medical, you can have options for life insurance. You can get into a sick leave pool. So they work up to 4.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. Again, your weekends are free. All the vacations, like I said, your kids get year on. So it does work for you, for a lot of people that want to be on that type of schedule.
So how many hours per week do you work?
You 4.5 hours a day. So what's that, 22 hours a week?
Oh, okay.
But again, you can pick up extra money if you want to do field trips during the day, if you want to run 12 for Life, if you want to run extracurricular sports, band, chorus, academic teams.
But don't apply if you got a bad driving record.
Well, we would certainly have to look at that to make sure, because we want to put a good product on the road.
Okay, well, I won't be applying then. Anyway, okay, well, we're going to take another break and be back with Bruce Tideback, Director of Transportation, after this word from Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
A well-rounded education includes much more than just academics. At Oak Mountain Academy, we encourage our students to find their niche in any of our 42 co-curricular opportunities. Over the past 5 years, we have brought home 5 state and 20 regional athletic titles. Our one-act play and literary teams continuously compete at the region and state level, and our academic teams bring home first place more than not. We are warriors creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. One thing that comes to mind before we jump back into the state legislature and the laws, occasionally, I mean, it's bound to happen. There's a mishap, a fender bender, a concern. And it, you know, we try to use great wisdom and responsibility when reporting, you know, there's been a bus accident on XYZ Road. And what's y'all's protocol when a vehicle hits your bus or there is a mishap?
Right. We ask the bus driver to call that in immediately on the radio, on our walkie-talkie type system, two-way radio system to us. We then contact law enforcement to have them come out to the scene. We send out a supervisor to the scene. In the meantime, the bus driver's checking to make sure all of our kids are good, safe. We have a series of questions we're designated to ask them. We contact the school, and then the school can send out on their messenger system to parents, letting them know that there was a fender bender of some type. And then we allow the law enforcement to do their job.
So it's good everybody just stays calm and we...
Absolutely. And a lot of times parents come to the scene and want to take their child off the bus, which I completely understand as a parent myself. But law enforcement wants to come there and get the names of all the students, and they want to check and make sure everything's okay too. So there is a process to it. Obviously, if a child is injured, we're going to get them off the bus.
Sure. To the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go full circle now and back to the beginning. This is really what motivated me trying to get you on the program. And again, thank you for coming in. And this helps me. And I've noticed this driving down the highway with a median or without a median, and the school bus is there and puts out a stop sign and lights. It seems like people are somewhat confused. Do I stop? Do I not stop? And you can kind of watch that, and they're like looking at everybody else. So what are they going to do?
Sure.
So just if you would recap the rules of the road as we need to know them.
As the bus is coming to a stop, we try to at least 200 feet before the stop put on our yellow flashers. Yellow means we're about to make a stop to pick up children. If you're on a two-lane road, all traffic must stop coming towards the bus and to the bus. Again, I repeat, stop once that stop arm comes out. Okay? We don't want rolling traffic. We also ask that cars that come from behind us to allow at least a car length distance behind the bus, because there's an emergency exit back there and we want to be able to get out. If you have a turn lane, doesn't matter how many lanes there are, if there's a turn lane in the middle of the road, all traffic must stop again. Treat it just like a two-lane road. If you have a physical barrier between, again, rock, dirt, grass, curbing, a wall of some type, the traffic that is coming opposite the bus does not have to stop, just the traffic behind the bus.
So just like a caution light on a red stoplight, you use your own judgment when the caution lights on the bus come out, knowing you got 200 feet before the red light comes
right.
out.
We are asking people... I know the tendency they say here in the Atlanta area is when yellow means go.
I didn't say that.
That's right. But for us, again, we're dealing with children, someone's child, someone's grandchild. Hey, let's just take the other 30 seconds and let's get the child on the bus safely. And please come to a complete and full stop.
And then now you have these rocker arms on the front of the bus still?
Yes, the gate crossing gate arms that come out. That's a safety feature that was put in a few years ago. That forces a child to get out in front where the bus driver can see him cross the road.
People need more information or have any questions or want to apply as a bus driver, how should they go about it?
You can contact us at transportation at 770-834-3346. Any of us would be glad to speak to you and give you any information you need. If you'd like to just come out and see what we do, certainly give us a call. I am available too, again, at the transportation department.
Bruce Tideback, our guest this morning, Director of Transportation for the Carroll County School System, ready and willing to take all your calls, concerns, questions, complaints, and applications.
Absolutely. No question. And like I said, 90% of what we do is a law or a rule that the state has done. And when parents call and I explain to them exactly why, they're very receptive.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you to all your bus drivers for keeping the kids safe. And thank you most of all for listening to the Community Voice here on WLBB Carrollton.